그래서 그 로즈지가 삼다야 뭐라 로즈지가 삼다나 나도 머리거리야 아니 몸상치다.
So this ignorance can be primarily categorized into two. That is the mere absence of knowledge, and second one is totally distorted in ways of perception. Although the ignorance can be of this kind, which is mere absence of the knowledge, but here specifically we have to refer to those ignorance which are distorted in ways of apprehension. So how should we know that this ignorance is actually distorted in ways of apprehension? So that we should do by way of understanding that self or that thing does not exist at all. The way this self grasping or this ignorance apprehends this self. So, it is through this that we discover that this self-grasping mind, which is the subtlest of the ignorance, so that is a mistaken and distorted mind in ways of apprehension, because the way it apprehends things to be existing does not really exist in reality. So, as said earlier, that is established through understanding that everything lacks the attribute of self or attributes of the things to be possessed by the self. So through understanding that things do not exist as independent self, independent mode, so they then, this self-grasping mind, which is the root cause of all suffering, or which is the ignorance, is then established as distorted or mistaken mind. And through that, we work out to eradicate this self-grasping mind, which is the subtlest of the ignorance. By so doing, then we see that because of the cessation of this self-grasping mind, the cessation of the other deluded states of the mind or negative emotions also occur. And because of that, the contaminated actions also tend to cease. And as such, the suffering, which are the product of these contaminated actions, also ceases. And as such, we see that because of this understanding of how everything, every phenomena lacks self-nature and lacks the independent mode, that we possibly can lead ourselves to the state of cessation, to the state of liberation. So it is to give the understanding, conviction that the possibility of achieving liberation. In order to give this idea, this third axiom that every phenomena is lacking true and self-nature is taught. So the very sufferings which we are undesirous of, having known that they are produced ultimately by this ignorance. So simply by making the prayers that, oh, may these sufferings be eliminated or eradicated, and so forth. It is not that these sufferings will get eliminated. So rather, we have to employ the respective or proper antidote remedy to these sufferings, or the root cause, which is the ignorance, the antidote to this ignorance, which is the root cause of all sufferings. And in relation to this, there is a mention of a deluded or afflictive wisdom. So the delusions, they can be basically divided into two. The delusions which are of the nature of wisdom and which are of the nature of the absence and the absence of the wisdom or non-wisdom. So as such, out of these two kinds of delusions, delusions of the wisdom nature and delusions of non-wisdom nature, so the first one, the former one, the delusions of the wisdom nature, so they cannot be eradicated simply by making prayers and simply by cultivating the sense of compassion and so forth. Rather, they really need to be overcome by employing or by generating, cultivating very strong wisdom, which really opposes these deluded or these afflictions, afflictions of wisdom kind. And that kind of wisdom that we have to generate is a wisdom which understands the selflessness. And on top of generating such a powerful wisdom, we also need to depend on generating very powerful sense of altruism, sense of compassion, so forth. And in order to accomplish these two, we need to depend on the external teachers. And then, on top of having the external conditions, that is the teachers, we also need to have the internal conditions, that is the precious human birth with endowments and lashes. So we see that because of our misapprehension or unknowingness that this birth as human being is so precious, because of that we tend to then doesn't feel like or doesn't generate a sense of the desire or the sense of pursuing the practice of Buddhism, practice of Dharma. And so in order to overcome that, so in order to gain some kind of interest in Dharma, we need to know how this body, this human body is so precious. And then on top of that, we have the tendency that although this human birth is so precious and that it has the capacity to perform the practice so well, but you may tend to kind of delay. We tend to have the inclination to delay our practices, saying that, oh, I may do it tomorrow or next year and so forth. So in order to overcome that obscuration or that negative tendency, this idea, this concept of impermanence is taught. The impermanence of death is taught. The uncertainty in terms of the time of the death is taught here. So in this relation, as to the topic of meditation on the impermanence of death, so it is taught here. You should meditate on this way by way of the three roots, root thoughts, the nine reasons, and the three resolutions. In this regard, there are, the three thoughts are: it is certain that we will die. First, second, it is uncertain when we will die, and the third, at the time of death, nothing except for the Dharma will be of benefit. So in short, whatever is produced or born, whether the external world, the sun or the moon, planet, so it is said that since the first time of the big the occurrence of the Big Bang, it says that it has been like 17 billion years, and some say it's in a different version, so it's not too certain about. So whatever is the case, there is the beginning in this the formation, that the evolution of this world, As such, as long as something is produced or begin with, it must also cease. So as such, we see that everything that is produced undergoes momentary changes, thereby eventually degenerating. And then in terms of the internal world, which comprises of the beings, so we see that these are the beings or the inhabitants of this the beings who live, who partake this world, they are also impermanent. Because when we think about the aggregates, especially the aggregate form of the beings, so they are so delicate as compared to the external world. So you imagine the different neurons and the functions of the heart, lung, kidney, and so forth. So the kind of the composition of our body is so complex and so sensitive, so delicate. So it should be actually too simple. It should be so good that if our body would be like a kind of balloon filled with water, then comprising with some kind of organism inside. But rather, in actuality, that is not the case. It is composed of all delicate organs. So as compared to the external world, like rocks and so forth, so the organs that we are being constituted of are so delicate and they are bound to actually be destroyed easily. So if you take into consideration this world, so it is said that it has been like one million years of the since the evolution of humankind on this earth. But it's never the case that whosoever is born on this earth, they are to die. But when the time of death occurs, it is never the case that you can have escaped from death, that you cannot run away from death and so forth. So here we need to reflect on how the Lord of Death will certainly come, and there are no conditions for warding him off. So we all know that one day we are going to die, but we are not at all concerned about the reality of the uncertainty of the time of death, because we constantly tend to have the inclination that, oh, I'll not die today, and I'll not die tomorrow, and so forth. And then you always tend to side this view of that you are not dying, at least for today. And it's because of that, then we tend to neglect to culminate, to fulfill the ultimate goal of achieving Buddhahood and so forth, or the long-term benefit. So as such, while we are engaging in doing a Bodhidharma, practice of Bodhidharma, so it is very important that we should do something which can be of really a kind of guarantee for next life. So, for example, if one simply kind of use some mala or rosary and say some kind of recitation, and then when you're happy, you do some kind of prayers or practices, and if you're unhappy, then you try to forget these things and then start quarreling, fighting these things. So actually, these are not proper way of doing practice. So these such kind of peripheral, such kind of superfluous practices of Dharma will do no good.